Good morning, church. Give me one second. I'm not seeing screen here. So, next week coming up is Valentine's Day. And I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit uncomfortable. Talk to each other. Because I know you're waking up and kind of, you know. So right now, with somebody sitting beside you, what's Valentine's Day? What is it? So with somebody close to you, and if you're sitting with your spouse, find somebody else. You guys talk a lot together. Find somebody outside of your family to talk to. What's Valentine's Day? I don't know. And stop. So that was really good. There was a lot of laughter there. So I remember growing up, I hated Valentine's Day at school because I remember being a little kid and you were supposed to give a heart to somebody and sometimes people would give it to other classmates. And I always felt bad because I never felt like I got as many hearts as some of the other people in class did. And it was always like, and who should I give one to? That's kind of embarrassing. But Valentine's Day, historically, is something very different. So Valentine's Day is actually the day of a saint, Saint Valentine. And here's some quotes about Saint Valentine. So, Emperor Claudius arrested a certain holy man, a Christian holy man, named Valentine, a priest. And the cause was the offense by his vain superstition. So Valentine was placed in the hands of one of Claudius's chief officials, a princeps. But Valentine healed this official's daughter. She was blind, and he healed her. And in response, the entire household of this official accepted Christ. And because this official was in charge of the prisons, he freed many Christians who were in jail. And when the emperor heard about this, enraged, Claudius sent soldiers and arrested all those whom he found in the house of Asterius, the princeps, and ordered that Valentine the priest should be beaten with staves, a big stick, and then undergo the sentence of capital punishment. He was beheaded on the Via Flaminia, on February 14th. This day that we celebrate romantic love, this day that we celebrate people we like, actually originates in a Christian. Valentine was a priest. He was somebody who shared the gospel. And he was somebody who died for his faith. We call that person a martyr. That's actually what Saint Valentine was. That's actually the origin of Valentine's Day. And like many things in our society has taken things that had a Christian root and turned it into something different. So as we look at Valentine, one of the questions I have is, well, what is this love that Valentine died for? What was so important, powerful, that Valentine was willing to die rather than reject it? And that's our text today. So, in our text today, Jesus gets asked, what is the greatest commandment, singular, in the law? And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. But then he continues. Jesus continues, and rather than just stopping there, he goes on and he says, and the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, all the scriptures hang on these two commandments. So what we're going to do today is trying to hit all these different parts. Part of what you did a second ago talking to each other was loving each other. One of the things we do with people we love is we talk to them. And in a minute, I'm going to introduce myself, and then I'd like you guys to talk to each other again and introduce yourself. That in church, we are not simply here to learn about God. That's the first part of Jesus' commandment. We are also here to not just learn about loving one another, but to do it. So after we do that, we're going to look more closely at the text, and then I'm going to have some application for you at the end. So just to be fair, I'm going to introduce myself a little bit. That's my family, 2018, I think it was. So it was a few years ago. And my house is not that clean. This was at my wife's brother's house, and we were there. And they had their neighbor who's a photographer there. So we're like, okay, yeah, we'll do a picture. And I really liked that picture. But as a young man, I came to Canada back in 1968. That's me in the middle there. I was about 2.5 years old. And the man you see right above me is actually my grandfather. And when I was growing up, I didn't live with my parents. I lived mostly with my grandparents. Both my parents worked, and I would only see my parents on the weekends. And so when my parents took me to the airport and brought me to Canada, it was kind of scary because I didn't even really know my parents. They were the people that I saw on the weekends. My grandparents were the ones that I spent every day with. And I moved downtown, and we slowly moved east as my family got work and our economic situation improved. We moved from downtown Toronto to East York, and then close to the Science Center, and then to Scarborough. And by about 78, we were living in Scarborough. And I went to high school, not too far from us here. So I went to Woburn, and I'm kind of in the middle there in that picture. And I played a lot of football when I was in high school. And then I wasn't a Christian through all that time. I became a Christian in 2000, and my wife and I went to serve in Christian missions. And that's a picture of us in 2005 when we were serving overseas. And you'll see in that bottom picture, I think that picture is so cute. That's my eldest daughter, Alyssa. When we first arrived in country, we saw a bunch of kindergarten kids walking, holding a rope. And she was like 2 years old. She just sees a bunch of little kids walking, holding a rope. So she just ran up and grabbed the rope and started walking with them. And they thought it was really cute, and the teachers thought it was really cute, because they were like, here's this little kid walking with us. I'm not sure if this is going to work. It's a video. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's downloaded, but you'll see there, that's Alyssa in the back, and that's Gwyneth. The little girl in front is Gwyneth. And they're singing a VBS song. If you can make it play, great. If not, but it's a really cute video because her older sister knows all the gestures, she's singing all the words, and Gwyneth, she's 2 years old, and she's trying, but she's just tottering around. If you want to see that later, I'll try to find a way to show it to you later, okay? Now, that's a little bit about me. Because one of the things Jesus commands us to do, love your neighbor as yourself. Part of how we love one another is we share about our lives. We get to know one another. It's really hard to love somebody if you don't know anything about them. So right now, I'm going to ask you to honor Jesus' request to love one another. I'd like you to get up, take a look around first, find somebody you don't know very well, make eye contact and point to them. So find somebody you don't know very well, make eye contact and point to them right now. The young people are all pointing at each other. It's okay. What I'd like you to do, go over, share a little bit about your life. Go. Give it a try, ladies. Good job. Thank you. And stop. I hope you guys had as good of a talk as I did. I learned some really fascinating things about dandruff and food in Japan. Well, a single dandruff. All right. So now let's go back to our text. So first thing, what happened before this text we read? So things, the Bible is not verses in isolation, and neither should our time together on Sunday be our only time looking at the scripture. But the scriptures often are letters or stories like history. So in our text, things happened before that explain what's happening now. So in our text, before the text we read, Jesus had been challenging the leaders, the religious leaders, and the temple system. So he'd been telling different parables that made the leaders feel criticized. So he cleansed the temple, where he cast out the moneylenders there, and he made a whip out of cords. He cursed the fig tree, which a fig tree is a metaphor for Israel. And he had the parable of the wedding banquet, where many were invited, but they didn't come. And so after he's criticizing the leaders, some of the leadership come to talk to him, the Pharisees and Herodians, who don't like each other. The Pharisees are the religious people. The Herodians, we don't know a lot about them, but they're the people who are named after Herod the Great, the Jewish leader of the area. He's a politician, and he's not well loved. But together they come to Jesus, and they try to trap him with a question. And they show him, you know, they ask him, like, are we supposed to obey the Romans? And Jesus answers them by saying, you know, here's a coin. Whose face is on the coin? And they say, well, the Roman emperor. And Jesus says, you know, give to Caesar, the Roman emperor. Give to him what belongs to him. And give to God what belongs to God. So the Pharisees and Herodians, they walk away. They're like, oh, that was a good answer. And then the same day, the Sadducees, another group, they come to him, and they don't believe that you rise again from the dead. And they ask him a question to try to trap him. And Jesus gives them a really good answer again. And so the crowds were amazed at his teaching. So you have all these different leadership groups in Israel coming to Jesus and trying to trap him a little bit, trying to show he's not all that. And Jesus gives them strong answers. We now go to our text. So, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And the Pharisees were not friends of the Sadducees. They disagreed. One of the main things they disagreed on was whether there was a resurrection. So one of the Pharisees goes to Jesus, and he's an expert in the law of Moses. He's an expert in it. And he comes to test Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He asks for one. Jesus replies with two. First, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's it. He could have stopped. He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He gave it. But Jesus keeps going. He says, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Can I tell you, you should spend some time thinking about this text. Because Jesus tells us in all of the law, in all the religious writing, these are the two most important things. In fact, he tells us that all the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets is what the Jewish people called their holy book, their Bible. It's what we call the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, the Tanakh. He says all the law and the prophets hang on this. They depend on this. So we can look and we can say our whole Bible, everything in it depends on loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the Pharisees would have agreed with this because this comes straight from the Old Testament. When it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, this is part of what Jews repeat every day as their foundational statement, the Shema. The Shema is a statement of the core of Judaism. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And then it comes with love the Lord your God. This is part of the Shema. Jews would recite this every day, multiple times. And often they do it in a song because it's so it's like Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. They recite this. This is deeply important to religious Jews. And so when Jesus says this, this affirms one of the things that the Jews have at the very center. And one of the questions I had when I first became a Christian was, well, what does it mean to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And we're told the answer in 1 John 5:3. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. We can think of this like a parent and child. How does a child show their love for their parent? Honestly, one of the biggest ways is to listen. I know I'm not a perfect father. I know I make many mistakes. I sometimes am not fair. But one of the ways my children show their love for me is they listen. Even though I'm not perfect, they listen as an act of love. God is perfect. One of the ways we demonstrate foundationally that we love him is by listening to what he tells us to do. A few minutes ago, I asked you if you could talk to people around you out of your love for God. That's an act of obedience. Because you know it's not easy to talk to strangers. It's not easy to talk to people we don't know. We get nervous. So, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And here, Jesus is telling us the two most important commands. And then Jesus goes on and he says, and the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in the Bible, we have people asking Jesus when they hear this, they try to twist it around a little bit. They're like, well, Jesus, you tell me to love my neighbor, but who's my neighbor? Who do you mean? And we have an answer to that. That's where Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan were a people that the Jews were in conflict with. So he's like, your neighbor is your enemy. Your neighbor is also your friend. It's everyone in between. There is no one who's not your neighbor. But one of the things I always asked is, what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Some people don't love themselves. Some people are angry with themselves. Some people are not satisfied with themselves. Does that mean you don't love others then? Of course not. So here's some text that help explain this love your neighbor as yourself. One of the first ones is again from the Old Testament. This is from the Old Testament. This is not something different than what the Jews believed. This is the same God. Jesus is saying what God has always taught. And in 2 John, I think this is very informative to me, that this is love that we walk in according, sorry, this is love that we walk according to his commandments. I've gone backward. There, okay, yeah, that's what I want. So we've done that one already, that we walk according to his commandments in obedience to God's will. But here's one that I find really helps explain what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, it's from the Old Testament. This is not a different God. It's the same God all throughout. The foreigner residing, living among you, must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. Do you see that there? Love your neighbor as yourself. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. We are supposed to love foreigners, strangers, like we love our own people. And I would say we should also take people to its closest approximation. We should love the stranger and the enemy, because when we're talking about our people, we're talking about our family. So a minute ago, I was talking to 2 young girls, and they were telling me how they grew up together, that they spent their whole life, pretty much since birth. Their families have been friends. They go on vacation together. They're really close friends. They're like family. What family should be. We're not talking dysfunctional families. What a family should be. Close. Loving. Caring about one another. Not wanting to be separated from one another. Desiring to spend more time together. Anyone can love their friends. Anyone can love those that are their family like that, with that closeness. But even there, we know it's not easy. All of us know that we have conflicts in our family. But we also know what it can be when it does work right. What God is calling us to when he says to love your neighbor as yourself, what he's saying is the stranger, the foreigner, the person that's different, I want you to treat them with the same love that you treat the people in your own family, those that are closest to you. And you're to do this not because they deserve it, not because they're good, but because I loved you when you were my enemy, when you were far from me, I loved you. I sent my son to die for you. So in the same way I love you, this is how I want you to love others. Because anyone can love their friends. God wants us to love all people with that love. So I'm going to bring us now to application. The first thing, love God first. Obey God first. Every one of us, we know that God is this balance between love and justice, between mercy and law. He is this perfect balance between the two. If this was not true, Jesus would not have had to die. Jesus dies to fulfill the law, to pay the price that we could not pay. Why does he need to pay the price? Why couldn't God have just said, hey, you guys are all coming to heaven, just come on in? Because God is not just love. He is also justice. He is also fairness. God cannot abide by sin. That crimes need to be paid for. This is right, but there needs to be a balance. So, the first thing, every one of us tends to lean one way or another. Some of us are very big on the rules and the law, and sometimes we lack love, empathy. We sometimes are too heavy on the law. And others of us are too heavy on love, and we're so quick to forgive that there's no justice. Who God is this balance between the two. But the greater part of that balance is towards obedience. And I would say, from my understanding, this is because if we act purely out of love for others, we will start doing what they want. Some of you are people pleasers. You find yourself saying yes to everybody because you want to please them. But you know that when you say yes to everybody, you start doing things that you know are wrong. You start doing things because you're trying to please somebody, even when they ask you to do something that you're not comfortable with. We need to be like God in that balance. We need to be balanced between love and law. But when we're a little bit more focused on law, what is right, that will force us to love. If I take seriously God's words, even if I'm too harsh in the beginning, if I take them seriously and I read that God tells me to love my neighbor, then if I take God seriously, I will start doing that. So the first thing is to remember that God is love, that he's also a balance between love and righteousness, justice. And so, our first thing, love and obey God first, foremost, above all else. Second thing, that the love we are to show is to treat others like we treat our family. If you want an idea of how you're to talk to that person at work who you don't like, how to talk to that classmate who makes fun of you, God commands you to love that person like they were your family. If it was my mother saying mean things to me, I would feel terrible, but I would also be working on forgiving her. I would be asking, why is my mother feeling such hurt and anger? I would be trying to love her. And all of this is because this is who God is. If we understand the depth of our sin, all of us at one point were enemies of God. We were following the ways of the world. And yet God still loved us. In fact, he loved us so much that even when we were his enemies, he sent Christ to die for us. That's the love we're supposed to have. We're supposed to love people who hate us, not because they deserve it, but because we are to be like our Father and to have that love. And the last thing is what I began with. In church, we often tell you we want you to go out and love others. We want you to share the gospel. We want you to... If we can't love each other, though, if we can't love the people we know, who we see every Sunday and often more, if we cannot develop close love here in our church family and in our families at home, if we can't do it there, we're not going to be able to love strangers and enemies. We have to begin here. So what we're doing here on a Sunday is often learning to love God. We're learning what God teaches. We're learning about his commandments. But one of the things we need to be doing is loving each other. And loving each other cannot be confined to an hour and a half on Sunday. It cannot be confined to a few words together. When we love each other, we are glorifying God. Let's close in a prayer. Heavenly Father, it is really hard to love others, especially others who've hurt us or who hate us. But God, you loved me when I was your enemy. And I am so thankful. I am so grateful. I am so full of joy. And your desire is that no one would perish. Your desire is that no one would be separated from you. So from our love for you, may we love others as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.